Turning to the book of 1 John, 1 John chapter 3. 1 John and chapter 3, and I want to read the chapter for us in a moment. 1 John and chapter 3. As I was thinking earlier on this morning, I was just wondering what our desires are, what our goals are. I was thinking about myself and just what is it we are looking to accomplish with our lives. What are we wanting to do with our lives? And I trust this morning's message will be helpful to that end as we think about that. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us, by the Spirit which he hath given us. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you and bless you again for this time. And Lord, as we've sung, Lord, that you might revive us again. We're thankful, Lord, that you are able and willing and wanting to do that. Lord, you're wanting us to walk with you in the light. You're wanting us to rejoice in you. You're wanting us, Lord, to show to others what it is to be filled with the Spirit of God and to show Christ to those around us and to one another. Lord, may you work toward that end in our hearts and lives this morning, and may you be glorified. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 3 in particular I wanted to focus on for our message this morning. Verse 3 says, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Verse 1 starts out, of course, by saying what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. What manner of love? The idea is, what foreign kind of love? The love of salvation, the love that was shown by God at the cross. Something foreign to mankind. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He goes on and says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is." It's a great verse on security of the believer. It's not teaching the security of the believer in and of itself, that particular verse. But notice John says, "We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him." Listen, let me tell you, if you had a chance to lose your salvation, you could never claim that verse. You could never say, "We know we shall see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." In verse 9, just touching on that subject again, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him." When we get saved, his seed remains in us. We have eternal life. But coming back to verse 3, "And every man that hath this hope," and the idea of this hope is this expectation. The hope of the Bible is not an uncertainty. God is not saying, "Well, we're just not too sure about this. We're kind of hoping that it'll all work out." No, every man that hath this hope, this certainty that we shall see him and we shall be like him. Now, if you could lose your salvation, you could never have that hope. God says we have that hope. Every man that hath this hope in him, this hope of seeing Christ one day, of being like him, this expectation, this not we're wavering or uncertain about it, we know these things to be so. And one of the great things about the book of 1 John is the number of times that God says in there, we know that we have eternal life, we know that we have passed from death unto life, we know. And I remember preaching a message on that one time. It's a great book. When I got saved, I was encouraged, read 1 John, just 5 little chapters, read it every day, 30 days, God will speak to you. You've heard me say it before, but I did that. Every day, 30 days, and it's stood me in good stead over the years. Every man that hath this hope, this certainty, this expectation, purifieth himself. The idea of purifying is cleansing. It's the daily practical aspects of the Christian life, that daily walk with God. Now, when we get saved, the Bible says we are cleansed, we are purified, our sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west. We are justified in the Lord Jesus. But now, as a believer that has this hope, I am to purify myself even as he is pure. That's why I say to you earlier on, you know, what sort of goals, what sort of desires, what sort of expectations, what are we aiming at in our lives? And let me suggest, here's a very worthy goal, and ought to be the goal and the ambition of every one of us, to purify ourselves even as the Lord Jesus Christ is pure. He is pure. And I want to look at some scriptures first of all, speaking about the purity of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 5 there, for example, the Bible says in this same chapter, "And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." In the Lord Jesus, no sin. You say, what is sin? Glad you asked. The previous verse tells us. Verse 4, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." Any and every time we break the law of God or a commandment of God, we are sinning. Sin is a transgression of the law. Now, when it comes to the Lord Jesus, notice what he says, "And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and also you know that in him is no sin. The Lord Jesus was sinless. In him is no sin. He is the one who we are to purify ourselves to be like him. He is sinless, and we are to be even as he is pure. Have a look in Hebrews chapter 1, back a little bit to the left. Hebrews chapter 1. Notice what it says about the Lord Jesus here in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 9. Verse 8, first of all, says, "But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God." Just a little aside here. This verse in many versions is altered just a little. You say, why? Because here in verse 8 it declares that the Lord Jesus Christ is God, quoting from Old Testament scripture. "Under the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A sceptre of righteousness is a sceptre of thy kingdom." This is what I want you to see in verse 9. "Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity." We are to purify ourselves even as he is pure. You and I are to be like the Lord Jesus. We are to hate iniquity. We're not to just dislike it. We're not just to have a preference for righteousness. We are to hate iniquity. Have a look in chapter 4 of Hebrews and verse 15. The Bible says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." We are to purify ourselves even as he is pure. You say, well, I have all these temptations. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus was tempted on all points like as we are, yet without sin. And so as those who would desire to be like Christ, then we have to understand that it is possible for us, by the grace of God and by the Spirit of God, to get through temptations and tests and trials and be without sin like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our goal. That's what we're aiming at. That's our desire, or ought to be our desire. Have a look in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22. I'll read for us verse 21. "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." All right, he's left an example that we should follow his steps. Verse 22 says, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." You and I are to purify ourselves even as he is pure. Now, he's given us an example who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. As Brother Smith said in his letter, across the world today, Christians are becoming more and more worldly, more and more interested in entertainment, more and more interested in pleasing themselves, and they're not following the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, who did no sin, neither was any guile found in his mouth. You and I cannot look to other people and excuse ourselves. We have to come back and look at the scriptures and look to the Lord Jesus Christ, who did no sin, and say, God, by your grace, I'm going to purify myself so that I can be like the Lord Jesus, who did no sin, neither was any guile found in his mouth. And we could go on, maybe. We'll just look at one more in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. In verse 20 of chapter 5, 2 Corinthians, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." It says of the Lord Jesus Christ that he knew no sin. And we are ambassadors for Christ. What sort of ambassadors are we? Ambassadors are representatives. Normally, in a a situation, the different countries send ambassadors. They send them to other countries. They go out as representatives of those countries and of the government. We've got ambassadors in other countries, and they represent the government of Australia and the nation of Australia. And as they look at those ambassadors in other lands, they get some idea of what Australia's like and what Australia's policies are and what Australians' attitudes are and all that about Australia. Now, as people look at us, we are to be ambassadors, and we are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. But when they look at us, what sort of ambassadors do they see us? And more particularly, what are we portraying to them about the Lord Jesus Christ? And the Bible says of him, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin." When people look at us, do they see a holy people? Do they see a people who hate sin as the Lord Jesus hated sin? Do they see a people who do no sin? Do they see a people who are purifying themselves even as he is pure? Pilate said of the Lord Jesus, "I find in him no fault." The thief could say, "This man hath done nothing amiss." Can people say that about us? We're ambassadors. We're to be like him. Our goal is to be like him. Remember, God tells us in his word we are predestined to be conformed in the image of Christ in Romans chapter 8. Is that our goal? Is that our desire? And every man that hath this hope in him, that excludes nobody, does it? Every one of us as believers who have this expectation and certainty of seeing Christ one day, we are to purify ourselves even as he is pure. He was sinless. He was without sin. He did no sin. He hated sin. And you and I ought to have that approach, so that when we go out into this world as ambassadors for the Lord Jesus, they might see Christ in us. The Bible says there back in 1 John, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself." You say, how do we purify ourselves? Well, in 1 John, John says there in the first chapter, in verse 7, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." If we're going to be pure as he is pure, then we need to walk in the light with him, and we need to have fellowship with him, and then the blood of Christ will cleanse us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we are to walk in the light if we're to purify ourselves. If we're to purify ourselves, then we are to confess known sin so that Christ will cleanse us by his blood and will remove from us all unrighteousness. If we're to purify ourselves, what are we to do? In Psalm 119 verse 9, the psalm writer asks the question, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." How do we cleanse ourselves? How do we purify ourselves? By taking heed to the word of God and walking in obedience to the word of God. In 1 Peter chapter 1, speaking here of the Lord, chapter 1 of 1 Peter, he says in verse 21, "Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth." There it is, you see, we're to purify our souls. How? By obeying the truth. By walking in the light as he is in the light. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." And so if we're going to purify ourselves and purify our souls, then it will be in obeying the truth through the Spirit and unfeigned love of the brethren. Purify ourselves. I want to just get a little more particular now and just to look at some things and remind ourselves of some things that we need to purify ourselves from. There are sins of commission. In other words, those things that we commit. There's sins of being over anxious, because the Bible says, "Be anxious for nothing." That's a sin if we're anxious. If we're being hypocritical, that's a sin, because we're to be transparent in. And the Bible says what? There was no guile, no hypocrisy in the Lord Jesus. And so if we're committing that, that's a sin. We need to purify ourselves of that. If we're lying, then we need to purify ourselves. If we're vain, if we're envious, if we are critical of others, if we slander others, And the list goes on. If we get angry, if we've got bitterness in our heart toward another brother or another person or toward God, if there's bitterness, if there's pride, if I'm taking credit for what I've done like Nebuchadnezzar, if there's worldliness, if there's a desire to be famous, if there's selfishness, if there's lack of self-control, the list goes on. If there's lack of empathy for others, they're sins that we commit. Now there's the other side, the sins of neglect or omission, ingratitude. And we preached last week about being thankful for all things and in everything give thanks. Do we really love God with all our heart and mind and soul and strength? If we don't, then we are omitting what God commands us, and that's a sin. Do we love others as ourselves? If we don't, that's a sin. Are we neglecting the Bible? And are we reading it daily? You say, I haven't got time. Then you're too busy. Start reading it daily. Never, 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 I believe, will anybody ever amount to too much for God if they don't read their Bible every day. I absolutely firmly believe that. You must read some scriptures every day. You must allow God to speak to you daily. God speaks to us through his word. And you go through days or weeks without the word of God daily in your life, then you're never going to amount to what God wants you to be. That's a sin of an omission. That's a sin of neglect. The Bible says we're to pray daily for daily food, not just physical, I believe, but spiritual food. If we're not doing that, then I believe we're sinning. I believe the scriptures support that, and therefore we need to confess that. Our unbelief about certain situations, that's a sin of omission. We're to walk by faith, not in unbelief. We're to have a love for souls. Did we try and witness to someone this week? Did we try and share the gospel with someone? Did we do something out there this week? Did we practice self-denial or not? And we could go on and on. Is there complacency? Is there apathy? Did we do all to the glory of God this week? Or was there some things that were a little bit more for what we could get out of it? Psalm 101 verse 3 says, I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes. What about this week? What have we looked at? Remember, we're to be pure as he is pure. The Lord Jesus never looked at anything that was wicked or evil deliberately. Now we can see some things that are wicked and they're sinful. We can see them by accident, but when we look at them deliberately, then we've sinned with our eyes. In that same verse it says, I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. What's he talking about in the context of eyes? What do we look at? All the rubbish that Christians look at, whether it's on the TV, whether it's through movies, whether it's through certain books, whatever it is, when our eyes are deliberately turned to those things, we have sinned against God. Now, I'm not mad with anybody this morning. I'm just telling you that we are to purify ourselves as he is pure. And the Lord Jesus Christ was what? Sinless. In him was no sin. He did no sin. And when we can sit and laugh about something this morning, then we need to check our hearts out. In him was no sin. In him was no sin. He was sinless. What have we been looking at? What have we been thinking about? Have a look in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And you and I know this verse. But we're to purify ourselves even as he is pure. That's our responsibility. We can't just say, oh God, just purify me. Now we need to say, Lord, purify me, but then we need to do what God tells us and show us. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. We're to purify ourselves. Do we think pure thoughts? Young men, do you think pure thoughts about young ladies? And young ladies, do you think pure thoughts about young men? And older men, do you think pure thoughts about young or older ladies? And likewise, ladies, our thoughts, are they pure? What did Paul say when he wrote to Timothy about the younger women? He said, treat them as sisters with all what? Purity. Why? Because he is pure. We're to be like the Saviour. We're to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Think on these things, those things which are pure. And many of us can put on a good front to people watching, but what about our thoughts? Are they pure thoughts? Are they honest thoughts? Are they lovely thoughts? What sort of things are lovely? What sort of things are of good report? If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. What about our thought life? If we were just to run over this past week. Have we purified ourselves? You say, sometimes these thoughts just come into my head. Of course they do. The devil's going to put thoughts in your head that aren't pure thoughts. You say, I don't want them there. We'll get rid of them. Deal with them. Bring every thought into obedience and captivity to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our thoughts. And young people, what about your attitude to your parents? Do you obey them first time, every time? Or do you think, I'm getting a bit older now, I'm kind of getting past that? Do you honour them as you're supposed to? What sort of attitude do you give over to your parents? If I were to ask all the parents here this morning to stand up and say, could you just give test me about each of your children as you see them? What do you think your parents might say? You think they get up and say, oh, look, all my children, praise God, they're always obedient first time. Bless the Lord, they never back chat. Bless the Lord, they've always got a sweet, sweet spirit about them. They're always looking for ways to help around the home. They're always looking to be a blessing to me. I just think I'm in heaven most of the week. I wonder. We've already said, treat the younger women as sisters with all purity. That means no flirting around the place. You say, what does that mean? You know what I mean by that. If you don't ask someone else who does. Just a little bit of a come on to the young men. Or maybe just a little bit of a come on to the young ladies. Or we're just trying to impress a little bit about, I'm pretty cool. Look at me. Remember, we're to purify ourselves even as he is pure. We're to be like the Lord Jesus. I'm going to get real kind of, I've got to get relevant, don't I? It's no use preaching up there to things that aren't happening. Got to get right down where it's happening. Mobile phones. Oh, my. What about them? What do you use them for? Who do you talk to on them? What do you talk about on them? What do you watch on them? And we could go on, couldn't we? Internet. What do we watch there? What do we look at? We could go on. What about TVs? What do we watch there? What do we look at? What about schoolwork? Those who are still doing schoolwork. I wonder if we could ask the parents, all your children have a good attitude towards schoolwork? Oh, yeah, they're just into it. Man, they're up early. I mean, they're right into it. They just can't wait to get it all finished. Not because they just want it, because they hate it so much, but they just want to do the right thing. And they never cheat. Boy, you know, they never cheat. They never even give the appearance of cheating. They're just absolutely exemplary. They're honest in every aspect of their schoolwork. I wonder whether that would be true today. And we could go on, couldn't we? We're to purify ourselves. What about, you say, young people say, well, you're just having a go at us. All right, we'll try the older people. What about husbands? Have they loved their wives as Christ loved the church this past week? Or wives, have you been in submission? Have you been doing what God would have you do? You say, well, I'm not married. Well, we could surely raise some things about that. John says, every man, if you're saved today, you're part of the every man that hath this hope in him, purifieth himself, even as he is pure. We sing, revive us again, fill each heart with thy love. You know what revival's all about? It's all about confessing sin and repenting. God pouring out his spirit afresh, and we walk with a new joy and a new spring in our step, because we know at that point in time we have no unconfessed or known sin in our life, and the joy of the Lord begins to fill us. Every revival is the same. Firstly, there's brokenness and repentance and getting right with God and with others, and then the joy. We want the joy without the brokenness and the confession and the repentance. And God says, that's not how it comes. And if you've sung this morning, revive us again, then let me suggest that God's speaking to you, saying, you've sung the words, now what are you going to do about it? You say, well, I want God to revive me. Bless God. We all ought to want that. That's my desire, to walk in revival blessing. In other words, to walk with God daily and to deal with any and all known sin so that I can purify myself even as he is pure. And so whether it's my eyes, my ears, my mouth, whatever, my hands, that I can be like the Lord Jesus as he is pure. May the Lord help us. Psalm 139 says this in verse 23 and 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Maybe that's something we need to consider this morning as we close out our service. Let's pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, we do thank you and we praise you and bless you for your word. And Lord, you know the hearts of everyone here this morning. And Lord, you know the deepest, innermost part of us. As your word says, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And I'm thankful for that, Lord. I don't need to know. In one sense, it's none of my business, Lord. But, Lord, you have called us to preach the word and to expound upon it. And, Lord, it's very clear as we look here this morning, Lord, we're to be pure people, even as he, the Lord Jesus, is pure. In him, there's no sin. Lord, that ought to be the goal and desire of each and every one of us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, maybe there's someone here this morning who's not saved. Then, Lord, they're never going to be able to be pure because they've never gotten right with you in the first place. And so, Father, if there's someone here this morning who's not saved, I do pray that even now, Lord, there would be in their heart, in their innermost being, in their thoughts, there might be this thought, dear God, please save me this morning. I know that I've sinned. I know that you're not pleased with sin. In fact, the Lord Jesus said he hated iniquity. So this morning, I do believe that the Lord Jesus died on the cross and paid the price for my sin. I do believe he rose again the third day from the grave. And this morning, the best way I know how, I'd say, dear God, please be merciful to me, a sinner. Please save me. And then, Father, maybe as God's people, we need, Lord, to do a little confessing and a little repenting. And, Lord, we've sung, revive us again. And we know revival starts with confession and repentance and yieldedness to God and the Spirit of God and to the Word of God. And, Lord, if there are any this morning, you have particular things that you've spoken to them about. And, Lord, we can all, as it were, find some things, Lord, that we know we ought to do better at least. But Lord, if there's been particular things that you've touched on, Lord, I pray that you would give the grace and the willingness now, Lord, to confess and repent and do that which is right. In other words, to purify themselves even as the Lord Jesus is pure. Just while our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, maybe this morning you needed to pray a sinner's prayer. You needed to be saved. And I'd like to pray for you. Say, Pastor, I recognize the need that I have. I know I've sinned. But I do believe, in the best way I have with all my heart, that the Lord Jesus died on the cross and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day. And I'm asking him this morning to save me because I believe what God says, if I call, I shall be saved. Is there anybody like that? You'd say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to settle the matter of salvation. Could you pray for me? Anybody at all? And then God's people, you say, Pastor, could you pray for me? God spoke to me about something this morning I need to deal with. I acknowledge that it's sin, and by God's grace, I'm confessing and repenting and turning from that, purifying myself this morning, even as he is pure. You say, Pastor, could you pray for me? Anybody at all, just as we close the service, could you pray for me? Lord spoke to me about something. I see your hand. Yes, Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Yes, Lord bless you too. God dealt with me about something this morning. I need to confess it to God. I need to repent of it. And I'm trusting God now to give me the grace to be pure. Yes, I see your hand. Lord bless you. Lord, I want to be pure as you are pure. Now, Father, I do again pray for those that have raised their hand, Lord, about particular issues. Lord, that you would give them the grace now. And the enabling that they might follow through, deal with whatever it is you've spoken to them about. In other words, Lord, they would purify themselves, trusting you through the blood of Christ and to cleanse them from all unrighteousness. Lord, they might enjoy that revival blessing and that freshness and that joy of walking with you. May we all enjoy that. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn first of all to hymn 353 now. 353. And if we can stand and sing it, I'm going to give an invitation this morning. If you'd like to come and pray down the front, and repentance is turning, deliberate turning, and sometimes it's good just to be able to come and pray as a public declaration that to the Lord first of all, Lord, I'm dealing with what you've spoken to me about, and I'm praying about it this morning. Let's stand and sing 353. Let's sing it prayerfully. Search me, O God, and know my heart today.
Search me, O God.